I spent so much money and so much time getting my face threaded, my eyebrows threaded, my legs waxed, my armpits waxed. Like, I was so hot on it as a girl. And now all I want is hair everywhere, like, and anywhere. So it's mad how you can go from being like, get rid of it all.
Yeah.
Like, I just want hair on my top lip.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.
Hello and welcome back to Two Night Stand. I'm Bella.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Teddy.
Hi, Teddy. Hello. We've come to the T in the LGBT. You wouldn't think so. Teddy is trans.
For Teddy or trans?
It stands for Teddy.
T for Teddy.
The LGB Teddy. You've lived about three lifetimes.
I have. Yeah. I'm like a cat.
Yeah.
Like, literally nine lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, Teddy is a cat's name too.
It is a cat's name, yeah. I've met a lot of people with cats called Teddy, unfortunately.
I used to have a cat called Teddy.
Yeah. And I've also met people with dogs called Bear as well. So it's either like Bear or Teddy. But neither are my actual name, but I, for social media purposes.
An Elias.
No, so we won't out.
No, we won't. No, I'll tell you after.
Tell us off. We got secrets.
So what do you want to, what would you like to talk about with me first of all? That's what I want to know, because I feel like you guys have got the opportunity now to ask anything you want.
Yeah,
and this is something that a lot of people will put on me to ask questions that I won't answer based on a lack of like personal
I totally understand elements. Again, I always refer it to something that I know about from doing the job that I do.
Sure.
Due to the fact that a lot of people ask questions about OnlyFans and what to do and what it's like. And it's very constant when it's online. And when, like yourself, you've got a massive online presence.
I would say it's massive.
I say it's massive. I see you on live every single day, boo. Like, I see you on live. I see you working and grinding. I see that. And a lot of people see it. So you work hard. And that's how I found you and got you on here. But, you know, it's that thing where, like, people ask too much and you're like, some days I just don't want to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Which is fine. And this is exactly what it is. I think with the trans community, I have been friends with transgender people for years now.
I've got
transgender friends.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had the opportunity to sit down and ask anyone because, you know, when you're in a space with friends, you don't sit there and really just ask.
I mean, I don't know. I think, like, on the internet, it's very easy to ask a stranger that you've never met before a question. Okay. Very easy.
Mm. Yeah.
It's also very easy to talk to somebody that you know quite well. So for me, I live a lot of my life stealth. So there might well be people that see, example, this podcast and will be like, oh my God, I've met him. I know him. And I didn't even know he was trans. Which doesn't faze me in the slightest, but for me, it's about scoping people out. So working in an environment where I work around a lot of cisgendered, heteronormative men.
Yeah. What do you do for work?
I'm a labourer in the category of tradie. But it's hard going and it's hard graft and I'm 5'3".
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not easy. But in that, I've met a lot of people that I will be friends with forever that now know that I'm trans.
Mm-hmm.
There's also people that I've met that I thought were going to be my friends and that I had a lot in common with and I got on really well with. And then we're sat in an environment where we're talking about trans rights and all of a sudden it becomes very apparent that these people aren't as good morally.
I get that.
And I think women experience it a lot, especially bisexual women, lesbian women that are very, example, straight or heteronormative presenting, if that's, you know, the correct terminology. But for me, it's a bit of an eye-opener because, as I was saying to you earlier, I lived my life as a lesbian that was very much so short hair, baggy jeans, like still taped my tits down then, you know, like very much so the boy element of a lesbian relationship, but I carried that with pride, absolutely, of course, but encountered like intended homophobia from horrible people. But there's almost like that, it's very obvious that I'm a lesbian, therefore people will not discuss certain issues around you because they're you know, their thoughts, opinions, or whatever else don't line up with that. And so for them, it's like easier to just not discuss it around me.
Again,
whereas no one knows that I'm trans, exactly. So it's like
nobody can see it. It's, yeah. Again,
and literally. I'm very lucky because it hasn't always been like this. There was a point in time where my voice didn't change.
Yeah,
and I had like two hairs on my chin. I was walking into Tesco's, like my driver's license is still in my female name.
Yeah,
that's an ADHD thing. Where it's just like
I can't be asked.
Yeah, I'd rather take my deed poll.
Yeah,
and my driver's license to go. Yes, you can ID me. Here I used to be. Here I am now, rather than just actually just send it all off and get a new one.
Yeah. I can relate to that a lot.
Terrible, yeah. So, I think I'm very blessed now that I live in a world where I am not seen as anything but a man.
Mm-hmm.
However, touching on like the non-binary stuff, and for me, I identified as non-binary for a long time.
Yeah, we'll have that episode next week. We're going to be speaking about non-binary people.
So, and I think... With the non-binary category, I was very much so reluctant to correct anybody on my pronouns or try and sort of discuss that. And we're talking 7 years ago now. Mm. So I knew that I didn't sort of, I don't know how to sort of describe it. I knew that I wanted to transition, but I didn't know that I wanted to be a he, him.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I wanted to change my name.
Yeah.
So it was a hard process of figuring all of that out, and then being in a situation where I was then asking people to refer to me as he, him, that was very difficult for a lot of people in the first year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I just noticed that I stopped getting misgendered, and I didn't notice the gender. Like for me, I still look in the mirror and see a girl, which is
that's just body dysmorphia. Absolutely. Which I think one thing that people forget about when people think about trans people is that a lot of people suffer from body dysmorphia as it is.
Yeah.
And then they go, I don't understand trans people, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, it's exactly the same. Yeah,
because dysmorphia and dysphoria are two very different things.
Yeah. And however, it's still looking in the mirror and seeing
something that's not
really there. And I think if you can't relate anywhere to a trans person, or if you don't really want to understand it or anything like that, that's the only thing. If you've ever suffered from any form of body dysmorphia, that is a tiny little snippet of what that would feel like.
It's a very good point of reference, absolutely. And I battled with body dysmorphia massively as a female.
Yeah.
Because there's this huge societal pressure to be skinny and to fit into a certain category. And I weighed like 48 kilograms. I weigh like 62 kilograms now. And I'm like,
yeah, it's actually mad going from that transition though. Like, I remember always thinking that when I was younger, I've always been a big girl.
I was chubby. I was a chubby girl, and
having that pressure of being like, especially because I mean you're a couple years older than me. However, you know, we still grew in that time.
I'll take a couple. That would do. Yeah,
we still grew up in that time where it was like Paris Hilton. Like Nicole Richie follows
me on Twitter.
Stop it. I love Nicole Richie.
One of my first followers. I don't actually use Twitter, but I've kept it for the basis that Nicole Richie followed me.
It's like, yeah, it's a skinny thing, isn't it? Like, you know, it was that sort of like heroin chic sort of look back then.
Yeah,
being
absolutely.
Like a chubby girl. I guess that must have been quite hard for you as someone who didn't identify as really anything.
Yeah.
It's like, am I just feeling the same way that my friends are? Yes. Or is this different?
Yeah.
And how did you how you came to that conclusion? Or did you just have this sort of like epiphany moment where you were like,
I mean, so like my first experience of realizing that, looking back, obviously at the time, I was like 9 years old. So when you're 9 years old, you're not thinking about anything you're doing. You're just thinking about like boring stuff, like what you're going to have for tea, or do you know what I mean? It's very simple life.
Yeah.
However, when I was 9 years old, my grandma actually caught me kissing my best friend, and we were playing a game. But I would always play the male role. I would always be like the dad in the situation. We used to pretend to be David and Victoria Beckham quite a lot. So my grandmother caught us kissing, and
bet you shit yourself.
I did shit myself, and I think my grandma shit herself as well a little bit. But we were all just kind of like, it was just, we're not gonna, you know. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was. But I knew that there was something. And so when I was about 11, I had a boyfriend that used to walk around, you know, lunchtime at school, used to walk around, not even be like, we'd be like four like feet
everyone's
apart.
Like, hold hands.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I think that was very much so like a desperate sort of bid to feel like I was the same as my peers.
Yeah.
And I also grew up in the era of, you know, the teenagers around me, the teenage girls around me were kissing at parties for effect.
Yeah.
Not kissing at parties because they liked girls.
That was also a massive thing. I remember that. But I remember, so when I was at school and I came out as bisexual and because I told one of my friends.
How old were you?
13.
Okay.
I fancied a girl and I told one of my best friends about it and she told everyone. And
same.
I was like, same. But so all these girls at parties were all kissing each other and they're like, look at me, I'm so hot. But then they'd be like, don't go near Bella. Don't like, and I'd be like, I'm not going to kiss you. I don't want to kiss you. Like, but it was that thing. But the thing is, my mum was a lesbian.
Right.
So everyone was like, it's hereditary. Like, don't go near her because she'll catch
it. I mean, don't tell my mum that because my mum's convinced that Hollyoaks made me what I am today.
Well, obviously right. Hollyoaks did.
Like, obviously. I will never forget that conversation.
Well, it's like my friend Johnny, it was all when, did you ever watch EastEnders?
Yeah.
So it was all when Christian and Saeed were together. Yes, that's when Johnny came out.
So for me, I think it was like two guys were kissing, or I can't remember, on Hollyoaks, and I was watching it, and my mum like walked into my room and was just like, "Why are you watching that?" And I was like, "I don't know." And then about 6 months later, I came out to her, and about 4 years later, she was like, "It was that show." That show you used to watch, you know, the one set in the north with all the gay people. And I was like, there was one gay couple. And it was like, was it John Paul and Steve or whatever?
Yeah.
And it was like the initial of that. And I think, when I think back.
God, not the gay influence. Like, fuck.
But influence is, for me, is such a, like, it's inspiring. So for me, like watching.
I mean, all it does is affirm, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, say, for example, right, the amount of, think about, if we think about the trans community, how many trans women I remember. So there was one time when I worked in a makeup shop, yeah, and this trans woman had come in and she very recently transitioned and she said, I need to learn how to do my makeup. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, I'll do it for you, I'll show you all the products and then you can buy whatever ones you want at the end.
Yeah.
Why am I getting sad? Okay, so she was having her makeup done, but every time I was doing something, we were taught as managers to get them to look in the mirror after you'd done something. And she wouldn't look in the mirror every time I was like, I need to show you what this looks like so you know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then as she got to the end, she said she felt beautiful, but wouldn't look at herself. And it was like that generation and imagining having to wait that long to find out that that's what you are.
Yeah.
And actually, because as a man, especially in male culture, it's very easy for them to shame themselves and be
absolutely.
like, I can't do that. I can't do that, you know, and still kind of carrying that emotion as a woman.
I think from a trans man's perspective, as much as I resonate with obviously the entire trans community, I find my transition hard.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine how hard it is to be a trans woman in 2023, which I find diabolical to be saying.
Mm.
But I have it a lot easier.
Yeah.
A lot easier. So
I think
it comes down to the male privilege, doesn't it?
I feel like it's a potential thing where like it's where because you have a like because well they what they assume that you have female genitalia, so they're like I could still stick my dick in it, like,
but,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think as a someone who isn't a trans person, not it's not even trans, what is it that they like people pick up, like they call them lady boys in Thailand, is it?
Yeah, we've got them in Brighton at the moment. They're
really?
We should go and see it.
Yeah,
like, we'll go and do it. You guys are
but obviously that's like a very toned down thing, and it's like when men aren't trying to please other men in that way, that's when people.
But even we live as much as we want to see a change in the world, we ultimately do live in a man's world. So for me, I've stepped out of, like I said to you earlier off camera, I had lots of bonuses as a woman, as a petite woman, as a relatively intellectual woman. I had a lot of privileges and bonuses as a woman that I now no longer have as a man.
Mm. Yeah.
However, I have privileges as a man that I never would have had as a woman. But for me, I've definitely got more privilege as a man.
What have been the biggest ones you've sort of noticed?
Well, it's definitely not a privilege to use men's toilets. I will give you that. That is the most heinous thing. If I could use women... You know when people have this big debate, I don't want trans people in my toilets.
But if you come out of a female toilet, yeah, I'd shit myself. Because I'd be like, why is there a man in here? Like, this is the thing. This is like why... Quite. I just don't understand, like, this whole argument about the bathroom situation.
No, and I don't get it either, because essentially... Your toilet that is in the hallway,
yeah,
we've all used.
We all use it.
And we're all of different genders. You know, we're not going in there for any other purpose than to go to the toilet. So from that perspective, I don't get it.
No, I don't get it. That's a whole
That's a completely different
debate.
It's so silly. And just, yeah, ridiculous. And more so an issue in America than it is here.
Yeah. Americans are...
But... Again, surrounding trans women and trans men. I can't speak for trans women because I'm not one. But if you were to ask a room of 100 cisgendered men if they have a problem with me as a trans man or a trans woman, their issue would lie with the trans woman.
Yeah.
And for me, that actually speaks volumes about the lack of comfortability within the male world, which is something as simple as, like you say, feeling very ashamed of something. So I can speak... As somebody who's very much so felt ashamed of exploring my sexuality, I have only ever dated women.
Yeah.
I have only ever known myself to consciously be physically and mentally attracted to women. And that's changed. You know, that's not as sort of set in stone as it once was. But I think it's quite nice to see that actually there are a lot of people that are willing to accept it within the cisgendered community and be an ally. But
ally.
An ally.
Speak, Valentina.
But I think the reason that the issue is there is because trans guys are very easily passing once they get to a certain point.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that all trans women, you know, go through the same process.
I mean, we get it all the time on TikTok. I have been called trans so many times.
I was on a date.
Because they'll go, look at the Adam's apple, or look at her knees, or look at this. And I'm like, I am a biological woman. Or they'll be like, it's definitely her jaw. And it's just like, you physically can't tell.
But
like,
also, people... I can't speak for it because I don't know.
I've seen
that
so
I fall
many
into the category.
Beautiful...
Intersex. Okay,
yeah.
So intersex. So for me, as a woman...
Could you explain what intersex is for anyone that's watching?
I will do my best. Yeah. So intersex is somebody that is essentially born with attributes of both a male and a female. Mm-hmm. And it could be more prominent. One could be more prominent than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So me as a woman, I could not conceive.
Yeah.
So a lot of the transphobic people that will say, you know, you're a birther. Well, I'm not a birther
because
I can't do it.
If you ask me,
yes, absolutely.
That was God's choice. That was. He's like, I know, but I'm just going to make your life difficult for no reason.
Yeah. But this is the thing. So I always wanted children. That was a big thing for me. And I knew that if I transitioned, that would also be like shutting the door on that biologically.
Yeah.
At 24, I was told that I was infertile and that it was like damn near impossible for me to ever have a child. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. At 26, I was told that I was in perimenopause, pretty much starting menopause. So my testosterone level was already through the roof. So when I started tea, it was very quick. It was like, within a year, it was like, hello.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And like my face has changed and my hands have changed, my body's changed. Yeah. And it's like, it's nice and it's very affirming. But I made a big mistake in not documenting my journey. And it was because I waited for so long for it that it's like, I haven't got time to stand here and video my voice. I haven't got time to take a picture of myself every week and see what my progress is like. Because I've been waiting 28 years
to be here. It's not a gym progress. You know your own progress and you know how far you've come and nobody else ever needs to see that.
Yeah,
and I think... You don't need to sit there and remind yourself that you were ever anyone else but you. I completely understand the whole birth giver situation.
Yeah.
I've been told I can't have kids.
Yeah.
Which what does that make me trans? No, it doesn't.
Quite.
So,
but this is the thing:
it takes
validity away from people in general seeing people as just a reproductive creature.
Yeah,
with women in general, it doesn't make you any less of a woman just because you can't have children. Because it's like you're not made to have kids. People say that all the time about women. Is it like that's your only reason? And even people who don't want to have kids. There is no reason as to why women are, it's like only something that was made by capitalism, wasn't it? That,
yeah.
You know, children have to have babies. So then we had more money to spend and people start working.
Yeah.
But that's how I imagine the tax
man. I love the way your mind works. I love it.
Yeah. So that's how I imagine the tax man talks when he takes my money. He's like, yeah. He's just sitting there with his little long
fingers. The little Johnny Depp walk. Like.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Scrooge. The tax man.
Yeah, just the one guy.
Yeah, no, that's just, he's just the one guy.
It's like a really negative Father Christmas that we all believe in. Yeah. You know, like as into the adult world, like thinking of the tax man is like a really scary Father Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, and he wears like a big hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just see Rishi Sunak, that's what I see. With his briefcase, like just blowing out the seams of cash.
he's like in the corner of the room trying to put the money back.
Oh, right, no, that's his dad's.
Anyway, politics.
Yeah. That's not where this podcast is going.
Yeah. I don't need that in my life. My brain's already scrambled enough.
I think we should talk about something like lighthearted.
Yeah, I think we should. Having a moment.
You're emotional today.
Yeah, I'm really emotional.
What are you emotional about?
I'm due on my period.
Oh, I'm emotional, so emotional about anything.
I just get really, really, really passionate. I don't miss
periods. Do not miss periods at all.
No.
Like, for that exact reason. Like, I used to cry at everything, and now I'm like, I can't cry. Like,
You're a man now. You're not allowed.
No, well, but this is the thing. It's like, even if I wanted to, and actually, I became more sympathetic towards cisgendered men.
Yeah.
Because you start to see that actually testosterone does come into play.
Mm.
So for me, I was very emotional. Yeah. I communicate a lot better as a man than I did as a woman.
Yeah.
But emotions wise, like I could watch EastEnders as a female and be like,
me.
As a man, I could sit there and go, it's not even fucking real. Like,
yeah.
These people are paid to make you feel emotionally twisted up and it's not even real. Like,
do you reckon that has anything to do with growing up though?
No. I genuinely do think that I've become very, I'm more emotional about other things.
Yeah.
So, and my emotions tend to be.
Would you say that your anger is higher?
No.
But then you have BPD.
But I do think that some people.
Not assuming that everyone with BPD is angry. I'm just saying that it's on the DSM, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. If my anger was to come from anywhere, it's probably BPD, if anything, and ADHD, but more like frustration, rage. I wouldn't like to categorize myself as an angry person, but I think I was a very angry person. And when you think about like my coming out story was very much so surrounded by what other people thought. Mm. I didn't hold off on, I knew at 21, I had a conversation with a girl that I was dating on the sly. She had me saved as a boy's name in her phone. And we had we were friends. Mm. We used to sit in social sittings, like with other people. And she would talk about this guy that she was seeing. Yeah. And it was me. You know, and I'm like, it's me, I'm James. So like it was a very affirming feeling for me that I knew that that's something that I always knew I wanted top surgery. I spent so much money and so much time getting my face threaded, my eyebrows threaded, my legs waxed, my armpits waxed. Like I was so hot on it as a girl. And now all I want is hair everywhere, like and anywhere. So it's mad how you can go from being like, get rid of it all.
Yeah.
Like, I just want hair on my top lip.
The moustache is pretty, it's strong, really good.
Yeah, I'm trying to grow. I actually trimmed it before today because it was a bit uneven, but I want to grow one of these.
I have a lot of friends that'll be jealous, actually. Tommy, for one.
Yeah, Tommy would be so jealous.
I know a lot of guys that can't seem to. I mean, I definitely have nothing really grey here.
It's
it's very sparse, so just take it off. But also, for all trans guys out there, it is not a myth. The more you shave and wet shave, the thicker and the stronger the hair becomes. So everyone does this thing where they're like, shaving doesn't make it any thicker. I'm telling you, it does.
My armpits literally have 5 o'clock shadow. Well,
also, I'm of the era where girls used to shave their arms to get a better tan. And fuck me, literally the hairs on my arms grew back so much thicker. So it's bullshit. So I try my hardest, as dysphoric as it may make me, like, right, it's all got to come off.
Yeah.
Got to brave it to see how much grows back. I dye my beard because I get greys and gingers.
Yeah. Sorry, this might be a really stupid question. What is it they use to get the growth, like, hormone?
So it's just testosterone.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it is, it all comes,
yeah, so there are other alternatives. So I'm thinning on the top. So I take minoxidil,
okay,
which you can either get through like a...
Do you thin on the top from testosterone?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, bro. So you, like...
I could be bald. Like, I could be bald in the next 10 years, which I think is very likely considering my grandfather wore a toupee from like 30.
So, yeah. Can people who aren't trans take that? Like men?
Yeah. So what I take, right, so essentially... Now,
other people complaining about being bald.
I'm going to myth bust this because a lot of people online will say things like, oh, you're just a girl that takes steroids. Essentially, they're not wrong. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but what I'm saying is that if I didn't take testosterone, now the level of testosterone that I take is that would make my testosterone level the same as yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was to take more testosterone, which is what cisgendered guys do to then be on steroids and bulk up or do whatever,
yeah,
that raises your testosterone level. So the more testosterone that's in your body, it's also why a lot of guys get a thing called gynecomastia, which is an overproduction of estrogen, which means that they then
gain...
That's
when they drink too much soy milk.
Yeah, but they get breast tissue, and the breast tissue...
I've seen it on the longest yard.
So one of my ex-boyfriends decided to be a vegan for a while.
Right.
And was drinking like soy milk by the glass. And then one day he comes down the stairs and he's like, my nipples are really hurting. Like this. And I'm like, what's going on? It's like actual boobs. And I was like, and then we realized that soy milk gives you boobs.
Yeah. So and what it's like, I went for an obsession. For the first year of my transition, I ate loads of egg yolks because it's like a really high source of testosterone.
Is it?
Yeah. So like little things like that. I was like, wait, I'm on it. Like,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
got testosterone. It's going to help. I'm having it.
Is it similar to protein then?
No, I think that there's definitely like protein has an element of obviously helping. Yeah. So for me, the more protein I eat after my shot, 2 weeks after my shot, which I have every month, I do myself.
Because protein goes into your urine, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So then I guess it would stop the... I'm not.
Yeah,
a scientist,
I mean, I'm not.
But I can imagine.
I'm not a nutritionist.
In my brain, I'm like, the more protein blocks the testosterone from coming out of the wee, so it stays in the system for longer.
I mean, I don't know about that.
More testosterone, more man.
No, I don't know about, no.
Anyone knows, please drop it in the comments.
Yeah, I want to know.
But yeah, I have ADHD, so I've gone off topic. I don't know. In terms of like steroids, so what I take is essentially a slow release steroid.
Mm.
So the one that I take is a brand called Nebido. And Nebido can be given in 3 monthly shots, which is like 1,000 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be given in sort of smaller doses, in smaller increments. So my dose is like 1 mil every month. So I do it myself because I'm not comfortable with somebody else injecting me. Also, I have my metabolism stuff's very high because I have Crohn's.
Mm-hmm.
So because I have Crohn's, I also have to take into consideration that my tea depletes very quickly. So by the time I get to like the third week after my shot, my body's like, you're ready for the next one. I start to get like quite lethargic.
Mm.
I have like, it's almost like super juice. So you imagine this is why it does so well for guys
like
that take
body.
Massive.
Have you seen Jennifer's body?
It's Megan Fox.
Yeah, when she has to eat them, she has to eat men. And then if she doesn't, then she's tired. And she goes really like, her skin, I don't know. Like
it's very hocus pocus-y.
Her skin goes like really pale and she just looks awful. And that she's like, oh my God, Jen,
gonna stick
like
that,
shit.
Stick
and
that
like,
on my watch
I'm
list.
I'm hungry, that's why. And then literally she eats a man and then suddenly she's like glowing. She's like,
similar aspects, I suppose. Like the things that I hate, you're asking me what like my privileges are that I enjoy.
Yeah.
So like for me, I will always get treated with respect in shops, supermarkets. Most men will even just walking my dog, I'll walk past a guy and they'll go, all right, mate. I've never met that guy before in my life. Yeah, and I'm like, what, geezer? Like,
you know, I usually go,
sweet boss, how's it going? You all right, mate?
If I'm walking a dog, I usually get, yo, B, what's your snap? Oi, where's that big batty going then? Is it anywhere near me? I want you to back that ass up on me, babe. And I'm like, all right.
You walk past my work. the privileges are for me, also, like, if anyone ever makes you food as a man,
yeah,
they always make you more food. Like, you always get more food as a man. Like, I've been to so many people's houses for, like, food, and they'll plate, like, a girl's plate up, and my plate is, like, I'm like...
I love how food has gender.
Yeah. And would it just be... I'm assuming generally as well, as you say, if you go around someone's house, like, you'd be offered a glass of wine, but do you just find out immediately? Would you like
Do you want a beer? Yeah. Do you want a beer, mate? I've got a beer in the fridge. Do you want a beer? Yeah, definitely. I get invited fishing quite a lot.
What? You don't even get invited fishing.
No. I mean, come and fish. I actually really enjoy it. It's quite fun.
Tried it once. It was terrible.
Yeah, like the privileges are, is that as much, I like the camaraderie of it. I like the fact that actually, you know, a lot of the guys that I mix with or I spend time with in a professional sense or any other sense are very, you know, are you all right, mate? How's it going? You know, I just the other day I had a bit of a wobbly day. Yeah. And I messaged one of my cis male friends who was very much so like, oh, like, what's up, dude? Like, talk to me. And he doesn't know that I'm trans.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dying to be like, well, I was born a girl and my life is really stressful. But I'm like, oh, I just had a really bad morning, mate. There is care and compassion.
There is so much. I think what guys forget, I remember I made a video about men's mental health, and a lot of men were like, as a woman, you don't understand. And I said, well, understandably, as a man, you wouldn't understand why any mental health works. It works in only different ways. But I think the thing that I touched upon was the fact that everyone is willing to help in their own way, but you have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And if not everyone's as takes initiative as quickly.
Yeah.
So for example, me, you and Jake all having ADHD, usually things go over our heads. Someone could be, you either sense the energy straight away because you feel it and you're like somebody's not feeling good. Who's not feeling good?
Yeah.
Or someone could be having the worst day and
you're like,
and then they're like, they have to sit down and tell you, I don't feel great. And then you're like, I love you. I will help you. I feel really bad. I will give you my whole life just to help. And I think men, some men, I think if you, when they're going through a bad time, they all turn to like the gym, because a lot of like red pill podcasts will be like, go to the gym and you'll feel better about yourself. And you're like, that's not going
to
fix.
No, actually what it creates is a very similar situation to mine, where you become very uncomfortable in your own body.
Exactly.
And this is the thing.
But this is the thing though with the gym, right? Is that you have no idea what someone's mental health is. And some people could be feeling like their body's not good enough. And in that case, the solution is to go to the gym.
Somebody else could be looking.
Lost a mother, a brother, a sister, right? Your mental health isn't going to be determined by how much you can lift at the gym. So why are you telling people to forget their issues and go to the gym? All you're doing is covering up a huge, huge basket and just going, we'll put that to the side. If I've got an 8-pack, I will feel so much better about myself. Why do men do that to each other?
Because it's it's very much like a pecking order thing. So I've noticed I'm quite a passive man. So for me, I could be in a situation where I could be working with 4 6-foot odd guys that are all capable of twice what I'm capable of. And I could be with a different crew in exactly the same setting. One could be very supportive and will take note of the fact that my strengths are that I'm quick on my feet.
Yeah.
My strengths are that actually I can do all the little jobs very quickly.
Yeah.
And they can carry on and do all of the heavies. Do you know?
Yeah.
It's things like that. Whereas there will be other guys that will degrade you, right? So for me, I could be carrying something really heavy and I'll get, are you all right with that? Can you manage that? Are you okay with that? That I start to doubt myself.
Yeah.
And what I'm carrying is actually half the weight of what I lift in the gym. But I'm carrying it going, this box is feeling heavier and heavier and heavier because they're telling me that I can't carry it. But this is just based on my height. Now imagine that I went, oh yeah, by the way, I was born a woman. Can you imagine how many guys would be like, oh no, don't give him that. Don't give him that. I can't carry that.
Yeah.
I don't want that side of things. Equally, it'd be very nice to be able to prey on like female privilege and go, I can't possibly live. You can do that. You know what I mean? Like
100%. That's so me when I forget feminism. I'm like, oh no, it's too heavy. Like when they set up the podcast, I'm like, oh, I can't carry it.
Okay.
I'm like, so oh. Even though I'm like, I'm literally lifting Jake at the door. Oh, like, and I'm like.
Funny scenario to me is like getting my tyres changed, right? I rock up to go and get my tyres changed, yeah. Right? And I've spent my whole life going in there and going, I really need my tyres changed.
Yeah.
Could you, you know, is there anyone that does cheap tyres around here? Mm. I walk in there like, oh, geez, what's the problem? And yeah, I'm like, yeah. I think my front near side tyre is got a puncture. It's like, got a nail in it or anything. I'm like, I haven't checked. It's like, what do you mean I haven't checked? I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm supposed to do that. Like, but people will...
I think I've experienced that exact same conversation.
But I've also, this is the thing. So my stepfather was very camp kind of guy that if you asked him to put up a shelf or change a light bulb, people go, oh, no, I'll find somebody that can do that.
Yeah.
Rather than learn himself. So I am a very camp person. I'm actually probably more camp as a man than I ever was as a woman. Very like macho as a woman. Whereas as a man, I'm like...
Right. Yeah.
But it's in those moments that I feel very intimidated. However, like walking into a barbershop, I don't feel intimidated.
But do you feel like that's anything to do with the fact that where you know on the inside that you've transitioned?
Yeah,
and
there's
then
certain
anything
spaces.
That makes you feel like I think that's it happens with everyone though. Yeah. If you're put in a position where you don't know what you're talking about, you panic.
Yeah.
Mm. And I don't think it can really be assigned to gender or down to person.
Oh, I don't know. I just think in terms of...
Because I think you feel like it's something that you should know as a man, but then I feel
like... Oh, no, I do feel like it's something that I should know. I'm not saying that all men should know it, but changing a tyre at the side of the road and getting the RAC out as a girl and having an RAC guy come out and go, it's fine, I'll change it, don't worry.
Yeah, you just feel like...
You go and sit in my van, you get out of the rain. Yeah. Literally, I had it not long ago. RAC guy turned up and he was like, your space saver's in the boot, mate. But why don't you put that on? Fuck. Like, okay, should we do that together? He's like, what, you don't know? He's like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
So like, did your dad not teach that? I'm like, I don't have a dad. But I do think a lot of things are specific to gender in like public situations. Things that I've really enjoyed about being a trans guy is that I'm quite an approachable person, I think. Mm. So if I feel comfortable enough to out myself to somebody, I do almost give them a green light to say, you know, this is your opportunity right now. You won't get to do it for the entirety of our friendship, but right now you can have your little window of asking me whatever you want to ask.
Mm.
For me, what a lot of people think is that I all of a sudden at 28 reached this conclusion that I was trans because that's when I came out. When I was in my early 20s, a friend of mine, and actually this young man is very much so in the media at the moment and is raising funds for surgery. But essentially, when he was 9 years old, one of my friends who I used to go and have a glass of wine with, and be a bit, you know, like have a chin wag or whatever, said, I need you to come and sort of have a chat with my child. Mm. I'm really concerned that potentially they might fall in the LGBT category and I don't know how, like, I don't really know how to deal with this, but I know that you probably went through similar in your childhood and stuff like that. And, you know, at the time I was a lesbian who had gone through quite a difficult coming out as a lesbian. So, of course, I wanted to advocate and help in any way I could. It turned out a couple of weeks later, they had an in-depth conversation and this child came out as trans.
Yeah.
And for me, I remember thinking at the time, this child sat there telling me everything that they're feeling and thinking. And I'm sat there thinking, I feel like that.
Yeah. And you.
And I think I know who I am. Yeah. And I feel how you feel. And you're 9 years old and you're telling me how you feel. And I'm sat here resonating with it. Like, what the fuck? So I sat on that. I sat on that for quite a while. I was in a relationship with a woman who identified as straight. And had only ever been with me as a woman.
Weird straight woman. Mm.
2 year secret relationship.
It's always a secret. Harley had a secret, didn't she?
Yeah.
I think we all go through it.
Husband was in prison.
Mm.
Yeah, right. That's brutal.
Yeah.
The girl that I was with, her ex-partner had like a secret missus and kids and stuff. So she was like damaged from that. So I had to face the wrath of that. But in that relationship, I jokingly came out. And I was like, you know, what would you do if like I was there? And we just had a really intimate moment. So it was almost like, I'm going to try and have this conversation. Like, what would you do if I told you I wanted to be a man? And she was like, and I was like,
we had this conversation.
And she literally went, please tell me you are joking. And I was like, yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So for 2 years, I didn't mention it. Didn't say a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was actually a sibling of mine, a younger sibling's 11 years age difference. We were driving. I was dropping him off to my parents, who are not very loving of anything different from the conservative Tory lifestyle.
Yeah,
the Tories. So I was like just rambling, like sat in the car, and I'm like, you know, like, what do you think? You know, you're 16. Like, what do you think about like trans rights and people transitioning? And he literally just went, if you want to transition, like, just do it. Do you know? And I was like,
okay.
In fact, it's like really obvious that this is what I want to do. Anyway, we lived together during COVID. And so I came out to my parents, as in I told them that I wanted to have top surgery. And I told them that I could potentially be starting hormones, to which I was very much encouraged to like hold off as long as possible. Make sure you're sure, blah, 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 blah.
But I think that, feel that is kind of important to do to anyone, any age anyway.
But I also think... And I will stand by this with conviction. Nobody knows your own like you. Nobody knows your body like you. So for me, well, I'd spent 8 years.
It's just
thinking,
like being a woman. I guess when you have gone when you were going through the early menopause, you probably got turned away a lot.
Yeah,
and being like it's just period.
Yeah,
period. You know, I had tumors in my womb for 2 years.
Yeah,
and I'd have awful periods. I couldn't piss for
like
a whole
fibroids,
month.
Like fibroids and stuff. Yeah.
I couldn't piss for a whole month. I had to have a catheter and they were just like, probably just hormones. Mm. And then one day I had, so it was a situation, it's called a molar pregnancy. And basically your body raises the pregnancy hormone and your body thinks it's pregnant. So I grew a placenta.
So it's almost like a phantom pregnancy.
Yeah, basically. And there was no baby in there. There was just a placenta and tumors all around the outside. So when you go and have an abortion, which I've only seen through a friend of mine, they put the baby on the screen to make sure that you're like okay with getting rid of it.
Yeah.
So they tried to do it to me, and then the woman put the screen in front of me because they were adamant I was pregnant, and I was like, I'm not pregnant. I haven't had sex unless I'm the Virgin Mary. This has not happened. I've only swallowed kids at this point in my life. So she's put the screen in front of me and then gone with the screen and gone, that's not right. I went, you shouldn't say that. I said, what's wrong with it? And she goes, no, there's five of them and they're all tumors. We need to get you in on Monday and have them all taken out and the placenta.
Fuck.
I was like, my belly was like that.
Shit.
But fuck me. Like,
but this is the other aspect. So privilege as a man, I could bring up and speak to my GP. Mm-hmm. And they'll get me in really quickly because men don't talk about physical health. I'm not saying that that's always the case.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that if you call up with a concern as a man, most, even the receptionist on the phone would be like, oh, okay. Because you ask any guy, I feel like I maybe shouldn't tell, nobody will know who it is, but I know somebody who like snapped their banjo string.
And that's happened to me.
But did nothing about it. Like didn't go, like,
what?
You would have to go to the hospital, surely. Like
it was like when Jake gave me chlamydia.
Oh, not again.
I heard about this.
Jake gave me chlamydia and didn't go to the doctors for like 9 months.
Oh.
So he's literally just as infertile as me now.
Should we just co-parent? None of us can have kids. Yeah. We'll just go and adopt one from somewhere. And we'll just split. You guys do Monday, Tuesday. I'll do Wednesday, Thursday. And then we'll get childcare for the weekends.
I mean, if you could borrow Slim for a few days.
I mean, absolutely.
Great.
My dogs would probably eat your lovely little kitten.
Aww.
Off topic. One
question I really like, because obviously I'm actually finding the comparisons between your different experiences from when you were
a woman and a
male.
Yeah.
I bet it's different talking about that in comparison.
Yeah, I don't really talk about it very often.
Yeah, I bet people are just like, what's in your pants then, mate?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Have you got a dick yet?
Yeah.
The
question I had is, do you feel safer? Because I obviously hear...
Interesting question.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel... Right. I still don't walk anywhere on my own. But that comes down to, like, I think trauma and like past experience. However, as a man, this actually happened to me really recently. So I was walking down a road, and normally it's like the same road that I would walk my dog down. So I'm kind of like, you know, when you're on autopilot, you've got your phone in your hand, you're not really like looking where you're going.
Yeah.
So I'm walking, it's like 9 o'clock at night, January time, but it's obviously quite dark. Mm. So we're in this situation where, like, I'm on the phone to my friend and I'm like popping down to reply to a text message and going back. And there was this girl walking in front of me and I didn't even realize. So I'm like, and all of a sudden, like, she picked up the pace and just started walking like much quicker. And I was like, I'm like, who the fuck is following us? So I start walking, and I'm like, shit, like, if somebody's following us. So I say to my friend on the phone, I'm like, I'll call you back in a minute. And so I'm a bit worried. So I start like walking, and then she starts walking quicker. So I'm like almost like on the point of going, excuse me, like, is there something that I don't know about? And then I realize that it's me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so then I'm like, right, I've just got to stand here. So I just stood there. And then, of course, I look like the creep that's just standing there like, hi.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, so difficult to gauge that actually now I could be seen as a predator.
It's mad though, because the thing is that I think when women speak about it, like, you know, you mentioned you were 5'3". I think in a lot of men's minds, they're like, you know, it's the big 6'1" guys that are scary. You know, it's it can be anyone.
Yeah,
it can be anyone. Absolutely. And you could be the most approachable person. You could be good looking, not so good looking.
Yeah.
And regardless of that situation, anything will just get you back up as
well. Yeah, 100%. Well, you don't know. We live in a day and an age now where you don't know how anyone's going to react.
You literally have no idea.
No idea.
And this is why a conversation that I had with Jake once is that sometimes the best thing that you can do as a woman is just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a situation where I was talking to someone and I think you were like, who is that? And I'm like, I just had to be nice.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's all, because you have no idea what the next thing is. And I know it sounds like people are going to be like, it's so dramatic, but it's really not, because you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll have no idea whether I tell a man to fuck off, right? And then he takes that as a personal vendetta and follows me and Jake home.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And like,
yeah, but also it goes like the other way. So I've been in an encounter last year. I was beaten up quite badly on a night out.
Yeah.
And I was very openly talking about being trans, very visibly had like my chest exposed with my tape on and stuff like that. Mm. And the police believed that that was like a targeted situation.
Hate crime. Did you get the lag loaves?
Well, actually nobody did anything about it, which was the worst thing. So I've now got my little Harry Potter scar on my head from it.
I see that.
Which I actually quite like, giving a bit of character.
Yeah. Now I'm just going to stare at the scarf.
It goes purple when I'm like really, really hot.
It's giving Julia Roberts the vein. You know, Julia Roberts gets an acting vein. She gets a vein down the front of her head when she acts too hard. Like, she'll be acting and she's, and then you see it. And
you're going to ruin Julia Roberts for me now.
She's beautiful.
Is incredible. Best love.
They're actually going to be recruiting for a new Harry Potter soon, aren't they, for new series?
Well, it's definitely not going to be anything to it. Can you imagine JK Rowling? Did you do any research before this podcast?
Yeah.
Like, oh yes, I think you should be in Harry Potter.
But we had this conversation.
I know that JK Rowling. It would just be so funny. It would be such a fuck you.
It would be a good fuck you.
No, that was literally.
I'd be a very old Draco Malfoy, though, I believe.
No, I reckon you'd be Harry Potter, because Daniel Radcliffe's quite small too.
All right, less of the
height. Oh my god!
There we go.
Oh my god!
The Milky bars are on me.
I love the glasses.
Yeah, but I feel like not seeing you guys gives me less anxiety. Like, I don't know that I'm actually making eye contact with either of you, so it's a lot easier. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
We went on.
I was way off course of Harry Potter. So, what are your thoughts on Harry Potter? Because with the whole
devastated, because of course I grew up in the era of
Harry Potter's.
I sat in the queue and waited for the books to come out at Tesco's. You know what I mean? Like, I was that kid that was like, please drive me to Tesco's, I want this book.
Yeah. So the whole JK Rowling thing.
It's what they say. They say never meet your idols, and then your idols, you know, being online is basically like meeting your idols. Like, unless you're watching them do what they do best.
Yeah,
don't want to know those people. 100%.
And I think it's incredible. And obviously a credit to all of the talent that is in the Harry Potter films. And you can't deny that evidently J.K. Rowling is a good writer.
Yeah.
However, that good writing skill has been used in bad taste for other things.
Yeah.
But therefore, my moral compass can no longer... I've literally got people that I've unfollowed on social media because they play Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, you're not my friend. And as much as people will be like, that's so extreme, essentially, how can you be more comfortable with putting money into the pocket of a transphobe than, example, allowing people to use like the toilet that they need to use, or and like the whole issue surrounding transphobia is very much so the pot is stirred by people like JK Rowling, Liz Truss, you know, those kind of people. And that makes life, actually, when you ask me, do I feel safer?
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me feel unsafe is the media and the government.
Yeah.
You know, your average Joe walking down the street doesn't make me feel unsafe.
Yeah.
The fact that a room full of people that don't even know a trans person could depend, you know, that could depend on my future based on whatever they decide. That scares me.
I've seen there's been quite a lot of positive things in the news recently with the educational system.
Yeah.
I understand that it's become a very open topic of conversation with teachers and pupils.
Yeah.
Not so, and I think the difficulty is now actually getting the parents to be more open to that conversation. I think there's a school up north where I think 25, 30 of the pupils are now identifying themselves as transgendered or gender.
On that spectrum.
On that spectrum, yeah. And it seems to be...
But this is the thing. So like, much alike to gay culture was like banned, you know, it was illegal to be gay. There are people that live in the world still now that will have, like, you know, elderly people that will have convictions attached to just who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My granddad and was arrested for being gay and then it was a mistake.
But that's fucked up. Right? Yeah. That's fucked up. However, the progression from that is that after it became legal, after there became a lot more support for gay culture, lesbian culture, et cetera, et cetera, we started to see it more. We started to see it more on television. We started to see it more in films, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
The point being is that these people have always been there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, they've always been there. Same as like trans people date back hundreds of years ago.
Which is that affirmation.
Yeah. It's just not talked about. And the reason it's not talked about is lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you go about talking about something that you know nothing about?
Mm.
However, if the only information that you're given is negative.
Yeah.
Then you're going to take that. It's like the
It's like if you hear, say, for example, you have a friend who constantly chat shit about someone all the time. Absolutely, like, I fucking hate this person.
They chat shit about you when you're not there.
Yeah, and then when you automatically assume that person's going to be a bad person, and then when you meet them, they're nice. I'm like, I fully make judgments of people of what they do to me rather than what other people... say about them. I will never take into consideration what other people say because I'm like, I don't know your drama. I'm not interested. If that person's bad to me, that person's a bad person. I don't care. But,
because this is the thing. It's very easy to vilify anybody, right? So, example, I think there was something that went on relatively recently with like a shooting and the perpetrator of the shooting was a trans person. Okay, so that's awful. And like an awful tragedy and a
relevance
horrible situation.
Being guns kill people.
The relevance
not people.
Being, but also my gender and my sexuality have no play in whether I'm a good or a bad person. Okay. Same as your gender, your sexuality doesn't have a play, same as yours. Mm-hmm. That is the way of the world. So you get bad trans people, you get bad bisexual people, you get bad white people, you get bad black people, you get bad. There is always a bad. There is always going to be a bad in every category of person.
100%.
Category of animal. Category, you know, if you look at dogs, the ones that are vilified are the pit bulls and the Staffordshire Bull Terriers.
But
and the...
it's just the way that things are portrayed, though.
Quite, like, but everyone says, you
it's
know...
It's like, for example, people... okay, so I think one really good example of a very good media presence and something that is good. So the two Netflix series. So you've got Sex Education.
Yeah, I love it.
Very, very educational and very progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And also Heartstopper. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
You need to watch Heartstopper.
Okay, was it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's amazing. It's about two young gay boys, but there's trans people in it, but they never refer to them as trans.
No.
They will just... It's... Like,
I mean, Euphoria.
It's like
Euphoria.
They don't mention that a hunter shave is no, trans.
Because essentially it's not important.
Exactly, but it doesn't matter. But that's the thing, is that like these things, like it shouldn't be mentioned either in a good way or a bad way. You know, like somebody isn't a good person because they are trans. Somebody is a good person.
I don't know if you clocked, but I got a lot of flack recently for posting a video. You know, the audio, I love it and I hate it at the same time.
No.
Right. Oh, surely you know it. But it's basically, I posted a video and it was like being a trans man, but passing in a cisgendered world.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, I do love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because from my perspective, it's wonderful to be seen as a man. It's horrible to see that men are still misogynistic and that there is still rape culture and that there is still such a horrible category of man that is hidden by the fact that actually a lot of guys will not showcase this mindset that they have for fear of being filmed or for fear of being seen or for fear of being overheard.
That's one thing that as an OnlyFans model that you learn very quickly is that you learn every man's deepest, darkest desire because they are not seen.
Mm.
You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
The same with people with faceless accounts, but you know, you find out every sort of sexual deviancy, and you know, a lot of it is can be very hot and it's all fantasy. However, there are some people who are very questionable, and I would have no idea who that person is walking down the street. And I think that's why it makes, as an OnlyFans model, it makes you way more aware of things that you would never even think about.
And a lack of trust in so many people. Because that's the thing.
Because as much as I love like the whole sexual side of it, I don't know how much people are being serious and what's fantasy.
Well,
you know, I can, you know, be in my element and be horny as fuck and just messaging them back like, yeah. But then afterwards, so you kind of take a seat back and then you're like, oh my God, like, that's actually mad. Like what, like they're telling me, because people will tell me secrets as well because they are an anonymous platform. They will come on and they'll tell me things that they've never told anyone else. And as a woman, sometimes it's quite scary.
Yeah.
Like things that they want to do
and
things that they want to experience.
100%. I mean,
and sometimes it's really heavy.
Kinks are something that like I've been a massive prude for most of my life. So like if somebody I've been in relationships with people for years and they're like, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, I'll text you later. Cause I can't have the chat. Like I can't. I've gotten a lot better now.
Yeah.
I do think that the other side of things for me is I'm very fetishized by a lot of people. So
trans people
in being out as a trans person on social media, I get that. Whereas like I get all of this attention for being trans, which is lovely and flattering and whatever else that people have an obsession or a fixation with that. Great.
Mm.
But I'm very overlooked as a man by women, being short, being like in my 30s with no mortgage and all of that shit. Yeah. Like it's massively important, you know, being seen in male culture as the guy that does the minimum wage job, you know, and has a pretty mediocre life. Mm. It's very much so like other guys will be like, I'm going to showboat everything that I've got. You know, it is that kind of world. Whereas like women will big each other up and try and help each other. And I think that's
quite... But I think the assumption of most men is the fact that if you don't have money and you don't have a nice car and you don't have a nice life...
Then no one will want you.
No one will want you. But how many relationships have you been in?
I mean...
I've seen at least two. So...
Call me out.
Exactly. No, but I mean...
Well,
you can still
call
it
work out. You've seen two.
Yeah. I've seen two. I'm not gonna say who they are, but it's a minimum of two. And like, you know, it means you can still get bitches. Hello. Any man can get bitches.
What is it? I don't have exes. I have examples of what not to do again.
I was saying this the other day to one of my friends, is that like, it's you can look like whatever, it's the energy you give off. Like as a man, you could literally be the most, but you could be the most like down and out, just like, you know, no money,
people
no
will
job,
show you what
no
they want to
nothing.
Show you.
Like you could have literally nothing to your name and have this just allure that like just you're being charismatic and being charismatic is not being like, oh babe, you got beautiful eyes and oh like let me take you out on a date. Oh, I would like, you don't even need to date.
Yeah.
Mate. You literally just need to strip it all back. Just be funny. And if
be
you're
genuine.
Not, if you're not funny,
yeah.
Be genuine. Like you need to actually care about.
Well, this is why relationships fail, because it's based on what somebody has rather than what they are.
Yeah, exactly. The last thing that I will ask then, is there any advice that you want to give to anyone who may think they're trans, are trans, or any advice you'd give to your younger self?
Definitely don't be afraid to reach out to other trans people, and definitely don't hold back on something based on what other people think. I think that's a huge factor as to why I didn't come out for as long as I didn't. So yeah, I definitely, my biggest regret is not coming out sooner.
Cool. Well, we always say have fun, stay safe, and always get consent at the end of every podcast episode. Which part of that would you like?
Stay safe.
Okay. All right. So have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Do you like it? Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two-night stand, baby.